So, beloved congregation, brothers and sisters in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, many years ago, my wife and I and some of our children had the opportunity to be up in Alaska. And we were there at the time when the sun never set. Strange. But if you go further north than we were, to Barrow, the northernmost community in Alaska, they experience 67 days of darkness during the winter. And so in the spring, they hold a festival celebrating the arising of the sun. Finally, for them, the sun arises to shine its light on those people who have dwelt in that winter darkness that studies show is harmful to well-being. There's more alcoholism, there's more depression, there's more suicides when it's dark all the time. The light that separates from the darkness, as God first spoke that light into existence in the beginning. When God spoke light into existence, he considered it good. Genesis 1:4. And then the sun, the great light in the sky that God created on the fourth day to give light to this present earth, its rays are so beneficial to all of life on this present earth. And most of us would probably agree that the arising sun, if you're up in time to see it, is not just awesomely beautiful. I just love sunrises. But its arising marks the passing away of the darkness of night, a new day beginning. And as God tells us in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. All of us alive on this present earth, all who have been alive on this present earth and will yet be alive on this present earth until the Lord comes, we all experience the great benefits of God's goodness in having the beneficial great light arise each morning to dispel the darkness, to give light and aliveness to the world. We all benefit from that. And we pray that all who benefit so would acknowledge God's goodness, bow down before him, and worship him as one who created and controls the sun to give light to the world. So given the great benefits we all enjoy as the created sun arises each morning, it shouldn't really be surprising to us that Christ, who arises on the earth with all the benefits of his righteousness, is called the Sun, S-U-N, the Sun of Righteousness, by Malachi. He arises on earth via his first coming, his incarnation, which is the immediate Lord's Day in view in Malachi's prophecy. That's the coming, the arising of the Sun of Righteousness, that'll come first. But he will yet arise again on earth on the ultimate final Lord's Day, also in view in Malachi's prophecy. And the benefits of this Son, that is, the Son of Righteousness, the benefits of the Son of Righteousness arising on the earth, the benefits of this Son's light shining into the world are healing for those who fear the name of the Lord. That's how God's prophet Malachi puts it. He will rise with wings, with healing on his wings, for those that fear his name, that is, us who, and all who come to honor, hallow, humbly submit to his name, and all that that means. So listen to our text. He shall arise, speaking of the Son of Righteousness, he shall arise with healing in his wings. And that healing in the wings of the Son of Righteousness, winged to us, as Malachi uses that poetic language, that healing began with the first arising on the earth, the incarnation of Christ, to suffer the cross. That its essence, the cross, The sacrifice of Christ is all about healing his people from sin. But the completion, beloved, the fullness of the healing of all those who fear the name of the Lord will be when he arises in glory on earth on the final culminating day of the Lord. And healing will then be completed through the resurrection of us who fear the Lord, the resurrection to perfect sinlessness, the resurrection to perfect righteousness of those who feared his name on this present earth. Healing, which is really another way of putting salvation, that will culminate on the final arising of the Son of Righteousness, culminate with his church finally in glory for all eternity. And we who are his by faith, the faith that hallows the name of the Lord, then at the final arising of the Son of Righteousness, we will be fully, body and soul, freed from all the confinements of sin to live fully set free to worship and serve God in perfect righteousness. And this will be such a great experience for us, such a wonderful, awesome experience for us, that second coming, that second arising of the Son of Righteousness, that we will rejoice like calves set free from the confinement of a pen. That's how Malachi puts it. And furthermore, the last arising of the Son of Righteousness, the final and culminating day of the Lord, for us who feared the name of the Lord in our present lives on this earth, for us, that shall be a day when we become triumphant victors over all his and all our enemies. As Malachi prophesies, he says, "We shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of our feet." We who are united to Christ by faith. So we want to look this morning a bit more closely at this arising of the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings from the scriptures. Now we're all aware that that globe in the sky that is the created great light, the yellow sun, that gives physical particle and waveform light to the world when it arises. Now Christ, before his incarnation, was referred to by the prophets in terms of light, like the sun. The last words of King David, 2 Samuel 23:4, speaks of the just ruler who dawns on his people like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless day. It's a prophecy of Christ, Jesus, light. Psalm 84 tells us that the Lord God is a sun and the shield. And when Zechariah, the priest, the father of John the Baptist, was prophesying of the Jesus whose way on earth his son would prepare, Zechariah said, "It was by the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise," some translations call it the day spring, we sang day spring, day spring, same as sunrise, the day springs into action, so to say, "by the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death." That's from Luke 1. So Christ, at his first coming, his incarnation to suffer the cross, that's the more immediate fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. The Lord coming into the world in the flesh. And the Apostle John says of Jesus, as we read that in the beginning of his gospel, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That's a good translation. And the Christ whose coming was like the rising of the sun to dispel the darkness of sin. He, the light, having arisen on the world, lighted the world by his coming, his incarnation. He himself said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You and I should praise the Lord that we live in the Christian age of the church, the reconstituted Israel, for the light that is the Son of Righteousness arisen on the earth is a much clearer light to illumine God's mercy to us sinners, that we all are, a much clearer light than was the law and its tabernacle and its temple ceremonies given at Mount Sinai under Moses. The Apostle Paul teaches in Galatians 3 that all those old covenant ceremonies were a tutor to lead us to Christ. But only Christ, as he arose as the Son of Righteousness, was the true light that demonstrated God's mercy in reality, not just in the shadows and types under Moses. You and I who live in the Christian age, who have the completed scriptures testifying to the Son of Righteousness, his coming and prophesying his coming again, we have a much clearer light, much more clear illumination of Christ as the light of the world. May we give thanks for him being the light of the world and put our trust in the light of the world so we don't walk in darkness. And furthermore, speaking of Christ as the light, in the vision of heaven, the assured hope of all of us who fear the name of the Lord as we live on this earth, that's our vision, our hope, heaven ultimately. That vision, as it was given to the Apostle John, here recorded in Revelation 22, we read that when we get there, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor the light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light. So the light of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, again arose on this present earth by his incarnation to overcome, to heal the darkness of sin in all the sinners the Father had given to him to come to save by his first coming. But since that first coming, it's now over 2,000 years ago, the created Son has still been winging its beneficent rays upon this yet present earth, in keeping with God's promise to Noah. Remember, after the flood, God promised this to Noah. While the earth remains, talking about this present earth, while this present earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That's why the sun rises every day and gives light to the world. But beloved, you should also be aware from the scriptures that the light of the created sun is only fitting to this present earth. When the Son of Righteousness arises on this present earth on that final day of the Lord, which is also in view here in Malachi's prophecy, when he arises on that final day, he will renew this earth. He will purge it, we might say, heal it of the curse of Adam's sin. He will liberate the earth from all of its defilement of the darkness of sin, set it free from its bondage of corruption, as Romans 8 puts it, and remake it into the new earth to which the heavenly Jerusalem will be joined to form the new heavens and the new earth that 2 Peter 3 speaks of. And that new heavens and the new earth will be for us who fear the name of the Lord now and will forever. We'll inhabit that new heavens and new earth as our home forever. And for all eternity, we who fear the name of the Lord in this present life, we who got by God's grace have heeded the call of the gospel to trust in Jesus Christ, to repent and to believe on the Son of Righteousness, we will live for all eternity in the new heavens and the new earth without the need of the sun. We will live by the light of the Son of Righteousness, the slain lamb. Christ himself, the Son of Righteousness, will be our eternal light. What a glorious vision that is. It's ours by faith in Jesus Christ. We'll experience it. So given all that we've been saying here from the scriptures, it seems clear from all the testimony of Scripture that Malachi's prophecy of the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness arising is referring to Christ's coming. He is the Son of righteousness. He is the one who rises by his coming. First, the incarnation. He will rise again on this present earth on the last culminating day of the Lord. And that second and final coming again for us who believed in him, who feared the name of the Lord, honored the name, submitted ourselves to his will, that second and final coming will be judgment day, will be recreation day, resurrection day, new heaven and new earth day for us who feared the name of the Lord. Our healing will be completed on that day. We could say that on that day, that final day of the Lord, that's in view also in Malachi's prophecy, his arising will reach its greatest brightness. Be like the noonday sun, we could say, as he comes in glory. And he will make the final distinction between those who feared the Lord and those who refused to do so. Now, we should understand that Jesus Christ is the Son, S-U-N, whose light is not the particle and waveform that overcomes the nighttime of the 24-hour day. That's what the created sun, the great light in the sky, does. That's the kind of light it is, particle and waveform. But he, the Son of Righteousness, is the light that when by God's grace it shines into the heart of a person, it overcomes the darkness of sin in that person. And the darkness of sin in all of us is the manifestation of the power of darkness. It's the enslaving power of the evil one, Satan, the one who instigated sin in the garden. And that enslaving power of the evil one, the darkness of sin, it's a bondage that's onto eternal death, everlasting alienation from God and his fellowship. It's described in the Bible, the ultimate destiny of those who refuse, who show the manifestation of darkness in them. It's described as the outer darkness. The outer darkness, notice, no light. The outer darkness, the only light that will be there is the fire of God's wrath against their sin. As Malachi describes that terrible destiny of those who refuse to bow down before, to fear the name of the Lord, the terrible destiny Malachi speaks of is, he calls it, they're set ablaze. They're burned like the useless stubble of a harvest. Useless stubble of a harvest. Or as John the Baptist said when he was preparing the way for the Son of Righteousness to arise, he said, they'll be burned like the branches that did not bear any good fruit of repentance. The darkness of sin, beloved, the darkness of sin, unless the light of the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, overcomes it, the darkness of sin shows up in people, shows up, it's evident, by their attitude toward God, which, as Malachi points out in chapter 3, we looked at this last week, the attitude that it's useless to serve the Lord. Those who have that attitude and maintain that attitude, and their actions follow their attitude, there's no hope from them apart from the light of Christ. And if they refuse to heed the gospel, the light of God, as it testifies to the light, Jesus Christ, their destiny is what Malachi describes, burned to stubble, outer darkness, alienation from God for all eternity, always in the darkness of death. So this is a warning. Everyone should know this. We should be willing to speak of that to those who refuse to heed the gospel, to believe it, to repent. When the Son of Righteousness returns on that final day, the day of judgment, those who have not feared the name of the Lord, for them he will not bring healing on his wings. but his burning wrath against their sin. And their burnt ashes will be trampled underfoot, as Malachi poetically puts it, on that final day of the Lord, by those who did not fear the name of the Lord. You and I, and no one on this earth, knows when that final day of the Lord is. That's why the scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Today, trust in the Lord. May all who have not do so. It's the call of the gospel. Repent and believe in Christ Jesus, the Son of righteousness, and you will find healing on his wings unto eternal life. Oh, but we who by God's grace came to fear his name during our earthly lives, we who heard the gospel, God saw that we heard it, and we believed the gospel by his grace. Praise the Lord. The Son of righteousness arose, and he will yet arise with healing in his wings for us, his own, for his by faith in him. Healing in his wings. Now, I mentioned this already earlier, but that's figurative, poetic language, healing in his wings. We find that in other parts of Scripture, such as in Psalm 18, speaks of God flying on the wings of the wind. Wings, we know, we all know. We see what wings do for birds. They carry them from one place to another. Wings carry, they bring to us so that the rays of the sun may be said to be winging their way to earth for our benefit. In the same poetic, same figurative sense, Christ is the sun whose healing light arises on earth as sent on wings. And Christ is the Son of righteousness. So healings on the wings of him who is the Son of righteousness comes to us, is winged our way. So God in his word by Malachi uses that term, Son of righteousness, because also in other scripture like Jeremiah 23, it gives that name to Christ who will arise, the Lord our righteousness. So he's called the Son, the light of righteousness. Because his beams, his light, his healing light is characterized by the perfect righteousness by which we of the darkness become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And his righteousness, as he arises on the earth, his righteousness by which he perfectly obeyed his Father always, his righteousness is imputed to us, credited to our account, by faith. So we're standing before the sight of God. He sees us healed because of Christ's righteousness. And also, he's called the Son of righteousness because as he arose on earth at his incarnation, he came to offer up his perfectly righteous sacrifice. That was the purpose of his arising in the first place, the first time, to offer himself. And that sacrifice was perfectly righteous because it was perfectly right in the sight of God, who planned it as the only means of healing, of salvation. And furthermore, he's also called the Son of righteousness because as he shines his light into our hearts, regenerating us by his Spirit, and as the Spirit indwells us, he is at work in us to make us righteous in and of ourselves. We become more like Christ as Christ demonstrated his perfect righteousness as his life on Jesus, as Jesus obeying his Father, as I mentioned. And the Holy Spirit continues to work in us to heal us of all the effects of the darkness of sin, to continue to conform our thoughts, our words, and our deeds to that of Jesus' righteousness until we are fully reconformed to the image of God as Jesus manifested it on earth by his perfectly sinless life. We will be there too when the Son of righteousness arises the last time and we receive our resurrection bodies. See why he's called the Son of Righteousness? Because that righteousness heals us and makes us righteous in the sight of God, and we become righteous in and of ourselves as his Spirit continues to heal us of all the effects of sin. And there's one more thing about this rising of the Son of Righteousness on the last day. He'll bear witness to another meaning of the word that is translated most often as righteousness, but it can also be vindication from the Hebrew. So that we can think of Christ's second coming as him arising as the Son of Vindication. He arises on the last day. It's a metaphorical picture way of describing the day of the Lord at a time when God vindicates finally his faith, your and my faith in him, vindicates our faith in Christ, vindicates your and my trust in Jesus Christ for righteousness, for right standing before God, and our hope of triumphant victory over all the forces of darkness. All of our hope, all of our faith will be vindicated on that last arising of the Son of Righteousness. They'll be proven justified right on that day. Because finally, on that day that we long for, that we look for, that we pray, Lord, come quickly, all of us who feared the name of the Lord, even as we were persecuted throughout this present earthly life by those who did not fear the name of the Lord, we will finally, on that last day of the arising of the Son of Righteousness, we will trample down the wicked. We'll do so in Christ. He will do it. But we're co-kings with him by faith, as we're joined to him by faith. And so then, all wickedness, all evil, all sin away from us, we'll enjoy finally the fullness of peace, the fullness of joy, that blessed covenant fellowship with God forever. That's what we look forward to. That's our promise as we fear the name of the Lord now in this life. So, beloved, how amazing, how wonderful, how truly awesome. This is where the word awesome is rightly applied when it speaks of what God has done. So many times, awesome is just thrown around like a common word. It ought not to be. But it's truly awesome. The gracious and merciful healing from God that comes to us on the wings of the Son of Righteousness, the incarnate Christ, who will arise again on this present earth to culminate the healing, the salvation of his people, all of us who have come to fear his name. When he came the first time, Hebrews describes him as the very radiance of the glory of God. And when he comes again, he'll come in the full glory to culminate our salvation with our glorification. What a great promise. How we anticipated and how we ought to live appropriate for our hope in this present life. So may all who hear this believe the gospel. May we keep on hearing the gospel, put ourselves in the hearing of the gospel, and may we believe it every time we hear it. And may those who haven't believed it come to believe it. Repent and believe. May everyone always continue to put their trust, your faith in the Son of Righteousness, and by his healing light shining in your heart, then your heart will be directed. It will direct, your heart will direct you, will direct your will direct your motivation, will direct your desires, so you will no longer walk in the enslaving, the frustrating, the never content, the lust provoking, the anger of the darkness of sin, as we're all prone to. The light of the Son of Righteousness heals us of the darkness of sin, so we can walk in the light of life, joyous, rejoicing. We should all realize, especially in our world today, which is really no different than it's always been, as Romans 1 says, there's all kinds of gods that people look to because they refuse to acknowledge him who is God. So they form idols. But none of those idols are light, as only Christ is light. None can overcome the darkness of sin. Only Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness, the healing light that overcomes all the diseases of sin. And we're all afflicted with those diseases as we are all in Adam. Christ is the only light that overcomes the world, the devil, and the flesh. And only by true faith in Him, the Son of Righteousness, proclaimed in the Scriptures, are any of us sinners overcomers. Are any of us sinners healed? Victors over the darkness of sin, over its power, over its enslaving power. So, beloved, our final, culminating, triumphant victory over the darkness of sin will become evident when the Son of Righteousness appears on the very last day and separates us who did fear the Lord from those who did not. And again, that separation will be marked by our shalom, then perfect peace, perfect well-being, body and soul, healed from all the effects of Adam's sin as we receive the perfectly sinless resurrection body and dwell where only righteousness dwells. And we may anticipate that if we fear the Lord now. Our faith in the Lord God who came in the flesh as Christ Jesus, our faith gives us that hearty trust that we look forward to fulfilled healing, perfect peace, perfect blessedness such as eye has not seen, ear heard, on that last day when the Son of Righteousness will rise again to recreate all things, unify all things in Christ, and bring us to everlasting glory. But we're not there yet. We live in this present earth, which is still cursed with the sin of Adam. We see it all around us, and the wickedness so evident in all the world as we listen to the news, look at the internet. We see the remaining effects of the darkness of sin, even within us as Christians. That's what we have to struggle against and fight against all the days of our life, to endure all the way to glory. And as we see the created sun shining each new day, meaning Christ has not yet come back, as we see that created sun shining and yet our bodies are still getting sick, our bodies are still getting worn out as we get older especially, we should give thanks to God for the light of Christ that He's shown into our hearts by the gospel, so that in spite of all the hardships, all the sufferings, all the ill health that we go through in this life, all the trials, all the persecutions we suffer in our sojourn through this present veil of tears, life on this present earth, through all of that, by faith in the Son of Righteousness, we look with assured hope to living in the fullness of His light, where there is no night, where there is no darkness at all, but only the everlasting illumination of the Son of Righteousness, the slain Lamb, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful it is to have that hope, to live in that assurance. May we all do so. Reflect on it every day so that you walk in the light and not in the darkness, as we're prone to as difficulties come into our life. But as we are those who have that hope, there are so many who do not have that hope, whose lack of hope is evident by their lives of darkness and frustration and consequences of not fearing the Lord God in terms of what they have done, because they refuse to bow before His will in the choices that they made. They should know that their hope is in Christ, that they need to turn to Him so they may walk in the light of life. Because when the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, arises the last time on that final day of the Lord, they will not receive healing. It needs to be heard. They will not receive healing unless they have repented, but they will be burnt with everlasting fire. So my prayer is that all who hear the gospel and heed its call to repent, may they turn to Jesus Christ by faith and experience the light of life in everyday living. They may be guided, we pray, as we who have trusted in the Lord, who have faith in Him, are guided daily in the way of righteousness, in the way of blessedness, as we sojourn on this earth, awaiting that great day of the Lord, when we will enjoy and glorify God in the full blessedness that is our assured hope by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Amen.